Well, we're going to continue. Let's have the house lights back on. We're going to continue in talking about being a disciple. Turn to your neighbour and say, we can all do this. Who'd like to be more like Jesus? Like to be more like Jesus? Yeah? Well, girls, it's a bit hard sometimes. I mean, but you can be more like, we can be more like Jesus in character. And that's what we're talking about. Who'd like to be more like Jesus in character? Like to be more like Jesus and see God move more in other people's lives as you pray for them. So we're on this journey together as a church and being a disciple. And what it is, I want to talk to you this morning about the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life. Say it with me. The normal Christian life. Yeah. The normal Christian life. And so to live like normal Christian life is to live like Jesus in every way. And the world is full of challenges and problems. Would you agree with me? And being a disciple means that we have some hope and life to breathe into those situations. Yes? Everything's not lost because we have Jesus. And if you're suffering and you know, whatever your situation is, we don't know why. We never will. But we keep loving Jesus because we know that one day things are going to be different. Something about our faith in God that keeps us when otherwise a lot of things may happen that don't need to because we have peace from God. James Dunn was an evangelist from Princeton, West Virginia. And he was a mightily anointed evangelist of the early 19th century. Here is a sentence from one of his publications. They used to write a lot of publications back in those days, the evangelists, especially in the late 1800s, 1900s. And he's talking about Jesus, okay? This is his sentence. He would show me the individual that was suffering, what they had, and he would direct me to them. After I had prayed for them, they would be healed of every disease. How did his ministry begin? Well, here's an article that he wrote in his in a magazine called Sign Gift Ministry back in the early 1900s. One day, I was just in a big way praying. Come on. One day, I was just in what? A big way praying. We had an amazing prayer meeting on Tuesday night. I'm trusting that, I think they've gone away this weekend, but I'm trusting that Linda's different from that prayer. Hey, Charlie. Mark, powerful. The more you talk about this, the more you focus about it, who thinks Jesus is kind of like, ooh. Yeah? I think I better help these people. So one day I was in a big way praying, tears streaming down my face as I was alone before God. I was asking him again to give me the gifts of the Spirit. A voice spoke to me and said, just a minute. And I stopped and a voice spoke again and said, don't beg for the gifts of the Spirit, pray to be more like me. I said, why Jesus? I had never thought of it in that manner. What do you mean? Pray to be more like me. And the voice said to me, the gifts of the Spirit will operate in your life if you are full of Jesus. So I began to pray that I would just be exactly like Jesus. Can we be to John 14:12? Let's put it up on the screen. New Living Translation, please. John 14:12, New Living. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. First point I want to make this morning is that being a disciple is allowing Jesus to touch your heart. We saw Ben this morning on the video screen our lovely Singaporeans, who now are Aussies. The success is in taking the risk rather than the outcome. So when we actually reach out and say, can I pray for you? That is the success. It doesn't matter how it turns out. It matters that we operate our faith. Yeah? Who'd agree with that? I want to read you something from Peter McHugh's book. He was here in May on priorities. I just want to read you one of the stories I was looking at in their own church. This is just one of their people that, like you and me, well, like you. Slight difference, but I'm just saying that because it's anyone in church, anywhere, can be like this. Have you got it? I'm confusing myself. I am finally writing a testimony for you. And he's got exclamation mark, exclamation mark. I was walking into a shopping center and a guy walking towards me had a brace on his foot. I stopped him and asked what happened. He had put a crowbar through his foot and broken two toes. It's not funny, is it? I told him I was a Christian. That's pretty bold, eh? And asked, would he mind if I prayed for it? He was blown away and proceeded to tell me that he was a Catholic but didn't go to church, but his mum did. Go the Catholics. He didn't really like the church. I said the church had got it wrong for keeping wrong beliefs and traditions within the four walls of the church, and that God wanted a relationship with his people. I think the Holy Spirit's operating on him now. Not religion, which kept people in bondage. I said that I went to church, that I was committed to taking the good news of the gospel out into the streets, homes, schools, wherever we go, and releasing the kingdom of heaven into lives through love and prayer and practical acts of kindness, just like Jesus. I told him how exciting church is. Who's glad they came to church today? This doesn't happen everywhere, does it? Hey? I told him how exciting church is. Where was I up to? And how the kids are taught. And how God is using kids in mighty ways, and he should consider coming and experiencing the presence of God in a church that is on fire for God. He was really touched that someone would take the time to stop and pray for him. I prayed for his toes and asked him if he felt anything. He said he didn't, but that didn't bother me. I know it was God's timing, and he was clearly touched. And who knows what God did on his way home, not just to his foot, but in his heart and mind. In Australian, have a go. The power comes from his presence operating in your life. And the more his presence, the more you will want to use the installment Jesus has given you. Because your heart has been touched by God. James Dunn said after one such encounter with Jesus, from that night on, my life was different. Many remarked how completely my ministry had changed. I had a positive message, a message that had fire in it. We are meant to be his people, guys. Ezekiel 36:26, because we're talking about the heart today. And I will give you a new heart with new and right desires, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you an obedient heart. You see, life with God and his kingdom invariably progresses through his works in our hearts. Where does it all begin? How do we acknowledge Jesus? It's in our heart. We've got to understand that how we started and that experience and that power and that, like, yes, I need Christ in my life. But then after a little while, it tends to dull. But it won't dull if we stay in experiencing the power of God, and we stay, keep praying, and we keep reading our word, and we do the things that we, so that we can continually experience God. You know, if we're not praying, we can't act in faith with our mouth, can we? So who'd like to be more like Jesus? Who'd like to, do you understand what I'm saying? It means that we have to experience God in our heart more so than what we are now. I'm not saying we have to pray all day, but the Bible does say to pray ceasingly. So what does it mean to me? Well, at least give some attention to God in your life. Yeah? Can we do that together? Because who knows what God can do when you're walking or you're talking with someone, or there's someone in the community. It could be changed forever. See, I can be like Jesus in every way because I'm a son of God. You have to believe that heaven is going to invade earth through you. Who believes God wants heaven to invade earth through you today? Heaven comes into your life simply because you have Jesus Christ in you, the hope of the world. So let me ask you a question today. Who here would like to produce more fruit for God in their lives? Let me say it again. Who'd like to produce more fruit for God in their lives? If we want to really take this seriously, and produce more fruit, will you allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to invade your core? See, there are things which will rob us of His best life. And I think as humans, we all experience a couple of these. So I'm going to talk briefly about two of them. First one, the draw on our own soul to be sin conscious. Who feels really bad when, like, oh, I'm a sinner? Anyone like me? Like, you have a bad day or you argue with your wife. Marcel, you never do that with Lana, do you? Lana laughed very quickly. and there's a sin element. And the devil tries to whisper and say, you can't do that. Who thinks that God's bigger than just us having a little quibble? Who thinks that God still wants to use us? So the more we have these little quibbles and all these little things, we have to be more alert to say, you know what, I think God might want to use me for something real soon. I'm gonna do my utmost to not allow my spirit to get angry or contaminated or go to bed angry. Who knows, it's good not to let the sun go down on your anger. See, Alexander Dowie had a worldwide audience. Amazing healing. So he did. Such was the way God was moving through him. But something happened in his later days. He became famous. And pride began to invade his heart. And he actually thought he was Elijah and started dressing in the robes of Elijah. And that wouldn't have been so bad. It's not that, you know, it depends on what's in your heart, doesn't it? But all that wouldn't have been so bad. Except for one thing. He decided he could do it without God. It wasn't long before things changed in his life. I don't know about you, but we've got to rely on God and have him in our heart. So, the gospel of grace rightly proclaimed results in being son-conscious. The gospel of works ultimately results in law and only can propagate sin-consciousness, which is identity theft, which is what happened to Dowie. What do I mean by that? I mean, well, if I do this, this will happen. If I plan for the service this way, then I know that I'll get this result. But who knows that there's a spirit that we didn't plan for what happened in the middle of the meeting this morning. There is some element of God that we must have in our life, because that could be the life-changing agent that people need in their lives. Yes? But if we're not in communion with God, if you like, there's a problem right there, because we will go to performance, we'll go to the things we know. The things we know, everyone knows how to be a Christian, right? If I do this, this will happen. If I do this, if I do this. But what is God's, really, what is being a disciple? It's having a relationship. It's having a what? Having a relationship. Otherwise, it becomes very religious. So sin consciousness. Yes, we have to be aware that, hey, we obey the Ten Commandments, right? What I'm saying is, God wants to use us, and sometimes we're just too in our heads or emotional and think, oh, I'm not worthy. No, God already did that at the cross. Must be clear on that. And second, thinking we're only human after all. Come on, who said that? I'm only human. All of us? We're only human after all. But if we say that in the context of what we're speaking about, if we're going to be a disciple, it's going to rob what the power of God from our lives, right? We're not just human in that sense. We've been invaded by Jesus. Who's glad about that? In a good way. Like we can have a relationship. What am I trying to say, Josie? It'll come back to me. You know, let me read this scripture, John 15:5. I am the vine; you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Lord, I thank you that we can abide in you. And Lord, your Holy Spirit ministers through us. And that, Father, we are different when we have a relationship with you. It's not just head knowledge. It's not either just an experience. We're operating in faith through what you have done for us on the cross, and we experience your power operating through our lives. Second, we leak him. Turn your neighbor and say, leak him. Leak him. Yanni, you're fine. I don't need you right now. It's all good. Leak him. Leak him. Don't feel rejected. See, most times after surfing, you know I like to have a surf. You should try it. Most times after I have been surfing, it can be a while later, my wife really hates it. I'm glad she's in kids' church. Sometimes I'm out to dinner and it's hours later. Suddenly salt water just drip, 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 drip. It's like a tap. And I can't stop it. I can't even control it. I'm just leaking. Leaking. And I know I've got a big nose, so there's a lot that can hold a lot. And it just, sometimes, even if I don't want salt on my dinner, it's there. True story. I just leak, don't I, Jared? I leak. Here's the deal. We ought to be so filled with his presence that we leak him. Come on. See, that does work, doesn't it? We'd be so filled with his presence that we leak him. It is his goodness, not mine, that others need. Yes? It is his goodness, not mine. It's not what I am doing. Come on, guys. It's not what I am doing that will make a difference. It is what he has done. If I am leaking Jesus, he has done something in my life. Who'd like to leak Jesus? Come on. We need to be leaking Jesus all over the place. Sometimes we just can't even, it comes to the point where it becomes natural. Yeah? To the point where it's like I had a guy, and I had no idea. He came, was at the gymnasium the other day, and he said, "Do you really want to know?" And he looked at me, and I just asked him a question. "Do you really want to know, Nigel?" And he started to pour out his heart, tears in his eyes. It's a connection. There's something happening. See, when we leak Jesus, you don't know what could happen. You don't know what God can do for you or through you. That's an ongoing situation. I'll hope to tell you more about what later. See, people catch who you are, not just what you do. There are plenty of good people in the world. But the world doesn't need good people as much as it needs an encounter with Jesus. All he needs from us is to recognize that he wants to show up where we are. You know what? Come back now, Yana. I was going to do another point, but I think we'll finish on this one. Thanks, Yana. Let's give Yana a hand. Yeah. I want us to get this into our DNA this morning. Remember I was talking about my father back on Father's Day. He was kind of a bit quirky, a bit unusual. And I started talking about how he fixed my car for me. I never really finished the story. Because I think we've got to realize our identity. Who'd like to be more like Jesus? Then our identity has to be secure in him, right? Is that right? And I'd been holding back on him. All teenagers are like that. I think I was 17, 18. And my car just wasn't working, and I worked in Belmont at the time at Grace Brothers Removals, and I lived in Balcatta. There was no bus. Not that distance. Well, probably could have, but 2 hours later. It was my own fault, and the differential had broken down. And he did something that was kind of like, because he was sometimes had a bit of a hot temper, so I was trying to hold back, you know, just saying, "Oh, just, you know, it's an old car, just happened." Differentials don't just blow up like that. So he rings his mate George. George the mechanic. And he and I, and he says, "Nigel, you're coming. Take your car." We manage to limp it there. We get the car down to George's mechanic, his house in Nollamara. And the mechanic, Dad's going, he's not really talking that much. I thought, this is different. He's not really going mad at me. Anyway, George takes the differential out of the car. That's that roundish, sort of squarish thing in the, you know, the back of the... See, that's why I'm not a mechanic. And he undoes the protect plates and, like, I think it's got like gears or something. But some of them are missing, 10 of them. So, well, I had about four. George looks at me and goes, "You've been doing burnouts." He goes, "You've been actually being stupid." And he was right. You know, Dad did one of the best things he could have done for me. Because he was loving, we fixed the car. They'd already organised a new differential. But George was the man that gave me the hard word. So I got the love from the father saying, "You know what, it's going to be all right, I'm going to fix the car." But I also got, "But hey, there's some things that you just shouldn't do." Who'd like a loving father like that, where we actually do learn? I'm telling you, that's why we need one another. Same reason. So our identity is crucial. Because when we know where we stand in God, some incredible things happen. The Apostle Paul got on a ship. It was going to be shipwrecked. The crew, there was about 276 people, about 175 were prisoners, including Paul. Now, of all those people, the storm just kept raging and raging and raging. But what happened? What happened to Paul? He's in the hold of the ship and he had an experience. God touched his heart. Even in a calamitous, terrible situation, we've got to be able to find some space for God in our world, right? And yet, isn't that the most difficult time, if we're honest with ourselves? God wants to change our world. And you know what he said? And he's such a loving God. He is. He said, not one person's going to be lost. But because of Paul had his identity sorted in Christ, because he understood, he said, now people, he rose up. This is what God's shown me. This is what we're to do. None of you will lose your life, but we must stay with the boat. And then they got scared and they wanted to throw all the prisoners overboard because well, they realized that they weren't shackled up anymore and they'd get in trouble from the... He said, no. And they all made it safely to shore. Long story short, they all got where they were meant to go. God moved powerfully in what was a dangerous situation. All because Paul had the authority in Christ to know what to do. Who'd like to be more like that? My God. See, Jesus is first a loving Father. You know, God wants to cohabit with us all the time. And he changes our heart through intimacy with him. We leak Jesus when we have a heart for God. And we are secure in our identity. Our relationship with Jesus trumps how we view ourselves. Let's stand on our feet for a moment. Let's pray. Father, I pray today. Come on, why don't we put our hands toward heaven, towards God. Father, I pray today that we would be more like you, that we would be your disciples. Help us, Lord, to have a heart after you. My God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. People of God said, amen. If you'd like some prayer, we're going to finish on this song. Please feel free to stay and have a coffee with us. Love you to do that. We'll finish whatever song you like, Dom. And I know I've prayed, but if you'd still like some prayer, please come forward. Have a great rest of your long weekend. Dockers 2014.